Do you ever just want to hear how the famous found fame? How the poor man became a millionaire? How risking comfort gave someone more freedom? Honestly, do you ever just wonder if everything will be okay? Welcome to the Y'all Podcast, where everyone has a seat at the table. I'm your host, Laura Jean Bell. In this space, I will share stories about life, Jesus, and the South. Stories of the past and the ones that are still being written to instill hope without fear of the future. Meet with me around the table, sharing tales about the lives of others, of business and risk and heartache and joy and failure and success. Let go of the fear that hopelessness is your destiny and fill up on the encouragement that mercies are new each day. Because the best thing about a story is that there is a beginning and an end. Hey y'all, and welcome back to the Y'all Podcast. I'm really excited about just today's story and really hopefully some sort of God-given lesson that I can share with you from the past year and a half, what the Lord has revealed to me, shown me, and taught me. But really and truly how he was teaching me that for years, and I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention, and I wasn't really seeing the full story. So today is kind of going to be a day where I tell you a lot of stories all in one. We're going to sit together. We're going to sit around the table. We're going to laugh. You can laugh at my life. You can laugh at the adventures that I've been on. And you can hear how the Lord has taken me down 1,500 like trails, paths, experiences to bring me where I am today and to hopefully take me where I am going in days to come. So I'm going to kind of start out by telling you, hey, this is where I started out in college life. And then we're going to kind of move on from there. So I started out college in the fall of 2010. So it's always really easy for me to remember the year I graduated high school, 2010. And I went to Lipscomb University, which is a small Christian college in Nashville, Tennessee. Always where I wanted to go, but I went at just the height of the national recession. And I was offered a big, awesome scholarship to Faulkner University, and I took it because my dad worked there. And Faulkner was a small Christian college as well, but it was in my hometown, and I wound up coming back to Faulkner, and it ended up being more of a pleasant surprise than anything. It was a school that I really didn't want to go to, but one that wound up being so much more of a blessing and privilege than anything. So I came to Faulkner. It was an incredible surprise, and I decided to major in English literature. But really and truly, I knew exactly what I was going to be. I knew that I was going to be a girls' youth minister. I had spent my high school years with different youth ministers, but the final youth minister that came to our church before I graduated high school, he was awesome, and his wife was awesome and taught me a lot. And I knew that there was kind of a need for an actual role for a female in the youth ministry. I went to a smaller church that just didn't have the budget to hire two youth ministers. And thankfully my youth minister's wife was wonderful and a sweet blessing in my life, but that she wasn't a hired on part of the staff. And so I had experienced a few churches that had that. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I know that this is what I'm going to do. I spent all of college interning at churches, working for churches, hoping that I could get enough experience under my belt to apply and get a job as soon as I got out of college and get going with this youth ministry thing. I knew it was what I wanted to do. I wasn't ever the academic kid. So I know and believe that I'm smart, But it took until after college for me to believe that about myself. School was never the place that made me feel like a smart person. I didn't love school. Academia was a place that pushed me and challenged me in ways that I just thoroughly did not enjoy. I had to work a lot harder than most kids just to make mediocre grades. And that was pretty exhausting for me. I realized that I kind of had an achievement bone in my body that felt super, super embarrassed at school because I would work really hard, but I was not ever the student that would achieve higher grades than a kid who absorbs things wonderfully and took a test and did great. And so I loved being a social butterfly. I loved my friendships. I always felt like I thrived when it came to social world, when it came to the arts world. I loved musical theater, chorus, drama, all of that. I was very into that. I was a dancer. And those were the areas where I felt like I was more successful, where I achieved more because I was more in my environment and I was in a place where if I worked hard enough, I was actually good at it. And school never made me feel that way. So being in school, I actually worked harder in college. I noticed in myself that I enjoyed what I was studying, but I also enjoyed the fact that I could do it in a different time frame, that I could pick my schedule, that I could work multiple jobs and earn money while I was doing these things, while I was studying what I liked, and while I was interning for all of these great jobs. And it was just kind of this, like, college was a place where I felt like I did well. I didn't make incredible grades, but I worked hard for what I had. And I kind of knew that about myself. So, you know, to tell you, Faulkner was kind of this place that molded me and taught me a lot of things. It taught me what I loved. It taught me what I didn't love. And it really took me on a path to really discovering that there was so much more out there, so much more that could be discovered if I was willing to look for it and hunt for it and ask for God's direction. And see, this is where the kicker comes in with this story today, because I felt like I was always a person who was running after God's direction, who was running after what the Holy Spirit was guiding me to do. The reality was, is I was doing that, but I had never been placed in a situation where life felt desperately hard. And even amidst some of the hardest seasons of my life, I can honestly say that there are people who have it way worse than I ever could even imagine having it. But personally, from what I've walked through in my life, I know for certain that there were definitely so many experiences through college that molded me and taught me things, but nothing was going to teach me about life more than life after college. So I'm going to break down life after college for anyone who's listening. Maybe some of you in here are college students. Maybe you're fresh out. And I always say to people, the first 3 to 5 years post-college, I think people are not ready. They are not mentally prepared for what they're actually about to step into. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to have joyful moments or it's not going to be fun or exciting or any of those things. However, life after college is life thrown into a world where you are not constantly surrounded by your peers, people 18 to 21 years old. You're not constantly surrounded by church-going believers. You're not constantly surrounded by people who believe in you. You're on your own. You're out in the wild and you are learning how to make money, how to earn a living, keep a roof over your head, pay taxes, pay for insurance, add to your retirement, learn how to grab a loan, rent a house, buy a house, like you name it. You're thrown to the wolves. And some of you may have grown up where your parents taught you at age 10 how to get a loan at the bank. But more than likely, your parents never were put in a position to where they actually had to teach you those things. So for me and for my husband, we were put into a place where we realized it's time that we buckle up. And we start figuring out this thing called life. And for me, it felt like I would be drowning and then somebody would throw taxes on me. I would be drowning and I was handed student loan debt. I would be drowning and I didn't get the job. I would be drowning and I had a challenging work situation. It would be fill in the blank. And I know a lot of you listening may be thinking, yeah, I've been striving and I've been trying and it's just not working out. And man, I understand. I've been there, I've experienced it, and I know. So in May of 2014, I graduated from college on May the 2nd, 2014. And then on May 10th, 2014, I married my high school sweetheart. So Cody and I were 21 and 22 years old when we got married, fresh out of college, literally fresh. I spent a week at my parents' house and then moved in with my new husband, and we got going. We got going on life and challenges and hardship and navigating so much more than what we honestly bargained for. Within the first 6 to 8 weeks of my marriage, I would face a lot of things. Cody would come home and inform me that we had 6 months before we were going to have to start paying back his student loan debt. Mind you, I didn't have student loan debt. Remember, I got that great scholarship to Faulkner. My parents covered the rest of what was a very small balance of college tuition. I've told my parents multiple times, why didn't y'all just make me pay that? Like, I could have paid my way through college, like with a very part-time, low-paying job. It was that cheap for me to be a student at Faulkner. But Cody didn't. He had a small baseball scholarship, and Faulkner was a private Christian college that cost a lot more than your average state school. And so Cody comes in and he says, hey, I have $72,000 worth of student loan debt. The interest rate is 11%, and that's really high in case you don't know what interest rates are. We're about to have to start paying this, and I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner. Also, I have credit card debt and a car payment, and I basically can't afford like anything. See, Cody found a job right out of college. He had been interning for a company that did audits and renewals and workman's comp insurance. And so Cody went to work immediately for them. And because he was young, because he didn't have kids, they paid him like pretty positive. His starting salary was $27,000 a year. And that was before taxes. So by the time we paid our taxes, they did offer, wow, benefits, but benefits are taken out of your paycheck. So the benefits plus taxes put us at Cody making roughly $20,000 a year, working 40 hours a week, right? And I went hunting for a job and never got a job. I applied for churches. I even applied at churches that had reached out to me to work for them. Because remember, I knew exactly what I was going to do. I didn't have a question in my brain as to what I was going to do when I got out of college. I knew exactly what that path would be. But here's the thing. Nobody wanted me. I had been hurt and somewhat offended by people in the church. I had friendships that became very angry with me. And it was over situations that were very much outside of my control. There wasn't enough I'm sorry's or how can I fix this or screaming and yelling or begging for forgiveness to change the fact that I had Christians that were very, very, very angry with me. And as a type two, I felt super out of control. Just for some perspective, if you're a type two and you call yourself a people pleaser, that is a glorified term for a control freak. You cannot control people by pleasing them at all times, because it's actually not possible. Because you actually might run into situations where people have been hurt by you or hurt by what they think you've done. And there is absolutely nothing on God's green earth that you can do to make them okay with you. So I felt like Christians had turned their back on me. I had invested a lot of my life into relationships and friendships and felt like all of the sudden I have this weight of unemployment. I have this weight of massive amounts of debt that I didn't know my husband had. And now what felt like a large sum of the people that I loved and trusted in my life were angry with me. And I couldn't do anything to change their minds. I applied everywhere. Temp agencies, Gigi's Cupcakes. No one called me. No one wanted me. And so I started to have what a lot of, you know, counseling, mental health care professionals would call a nervous breakdown. Panic. And I remember one day calling my dad and I said, "Hey, I feel like my life, I'm pretty positive my life's falling apart and I need you to help me." And he said, "Okay." And he did what any dad would do. And he took me to the shrimp basket and we ate fried shrimp behind my mom's back. And I cried my eyeballs out for 2 hours. And my dad sat and listened to me. And just know my dad is a super busy man. So the fact that he sat outside in the July heat under a spinning nasty fan over a plate, a hot plate of coconut fried shrimp, is some sacrifice on his end, because it was a lot. It was a lot. And he cried with me. And then he did what any person in our family, in our bloodline would do. And he said, "Baby, sometimes you just gotta go do something to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. Just go make a choice. Stop worrying about what you were planning to do." This is actually what he was trying to say. "Stop worrying about what you were planning to do and just go do something and find it along the way." And you know, when he shared this with me, "Just make a choice." This is my dad's famous line. "Make a choice. If that's not a good choice, then make another choice. And if that's a good choice, then maybe make another good choice in that good choice and keep going." And I kind of knew he was going to say that, but I had hoped he would say, "I don't know, here's $100,000 and wait till the right job comes." But that's not my reality, and that's not anyone's reality, or at least most people's reality. So I was mad. So I went to my mom, and my mom said the same thing. And she said, "We're going to pray. Have you asked the Holy Spirit for help?" "No." "Then we're going to pray. Jesus. Jesus." My mom's one of those people that when you're talking to her, she'll just kind of be like, we're going to pray about, "I'm going to be praying about that. You know what? We're going to pray right now. Jesus, we just ask for your help. Lord, we just ask for an opening. We ask for a job." You know, she'll just kind of do this quick prayer in front of me. And I'd like to say that after these conversations, I walked away with my head held high, and that the next day I got a phone call for my dream job, and I went to work and I figured all of it out, and it was awesome. And unfortunately, I can't tell you that. I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. But I can tell you that a couple of weeks later, I got a call from my cousin who said that her wedding planner needed an assistant. It would be a part-time job, but she knew I was looking, and she thinks it would be fun. I thought, sure, wedding planner, floral designer, absolutely, I'll go do that. I'll apply. I went and met with this guy. He was about my age, had built this business, never went to college, and I went to work for him part-time. I wound up getting a gig at a pizza restaurant as a waitress, and a local magazine hired me for $50 a month to write articles for their local magazine. And these jobs were good, and I was super overworked. What I thought was a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday job for the wedding planner wound up being a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning job for the wedding planner. And that was okay. It was work and it was what I was looking for, but it didn't make ends meet. And I kept kind of having to take on more and more and more. But as I was working for this wedding planner, I started learning a lot from him. He was outgoing. He was always like talking to someone, connected to someone in the city. And I realized I was getting connected to people in the city because I was doing this job, a job where some days I felt a little overworked and a little underpaid for what I was doing, but I was learning and I was actually gaining a lot of wisdom. And I realized working for this guy that if he can build a business, I could build a business too. I don't want to be in the wedding industry. I learned that quickly working for the wedding industry, that I did not want to spend my days, my hours, my weeks, and my months working for brides because sometimes they'd be crazy. But I learned that I could build a business. And so as that evolved, I came home and told my husband, I want to start a business. We can do this. And so we put our heads together in our money and our pennies, and we figured out a way for us to be able to start a coffee company. And so we bought this little coffee cart, this little bicycle cart. And we built this little business from the ground up and sold coffee off the sidewalk. And I eventually was able to quit my wedding planning job and work remotely for a social media company and help brand some restaurants in town. And I worked as a freelance writer for another company in the meantime. And I joined a community Bible study where people taught me, about healthy friendship, healthy relationships, and what that looks like and how to be connected. And these girls were years ahead of me. They had already walked through the hard part of getting out of college and looking for a job and figuring all the things out. And these girls kind of took me under their wing and taught me and guided me and took me along the road to figuring out what is it that I'm supposed to be doing. After a while, our coffee company started gaining enough traction on social media that we were booking a lot of events, and we decided we're just going to do events only. Events only, no more sidewalk coffee cart. We're making more money at events than we are on the sidewalk. So let's just do this. Let's do these side events and make this kind of a side hustle instead of a full-time hustle. And so that's what we did. And while we were doing that, a friend of mine from that Bible study called me and she said, hey, there's a job opening. There's a job opening at a nonprofit in West Montgomery. And I think you could do the job as the assistant to the executive director. And I thought, I cannot be an assistant again. I suck at administrative work. I want to be good at it, but it's not my gifting. And then she told me how much they would pay me. And I was like, yeah, I've never made that much money in my adult life. It still wasn't a lot of money, but it was more than what I had ever made. And so I went to work. I interviewed, it was a really smooth process, and I got the job as the assistant to the executive director at Common Ground Montgomery. If you've never heard of it and you live in the Montgomery, Alabama area, go give it a chance. It's such a great ministry. And while I was working there, we were struggling financially. We were still behind. We still had so much debt. We felt crazy. And there was a man who was on the board at Common Ground who in the summers would come over to the building and just kind of hang out. He was kind of there to help however he could help, to mentor and guide however he could mentor and guide. This man in his early 30s, fully retired, multimillionaire, from Flint, Michigan, and as he described it, it's the city with the brown water, grew up very poor and built this life for himself. When you look at him, when you meet him, when you experience him, you would never think that he was a multimillionaire, but then he starts telling you what he's doing in a day and you're like, dude, do you work? No, he's retired. He has real estate investment and he teaches kids that are living in the projects how to manage their money. He teaches adults who are living in the projects how to do this, how to build a life for themselves. Like, he invests in ministry, and he would sit at the front desk of this building with me and say, Laura Bell, sell your house. Sell your house. Sell your house and pay off this debt. Get out of this debt. Cody and I bought a house, and if you listened last season, I'll share the link to this in the show notes of this, but if you listened last season, Cody and I had a miraculous story of selling our house and paying off all of our debt. And it was because this guy encouraged me so much and the Holy Spirit guided me. And Cody and I wound up selling our house. We sold our house that we loved and that we fought over and that we disagreed on selling. I didn't want to sell. Cody wanted to sell. Thank you to Jay Black, who sat with me and pushed me and pushed me and pushed me, and to the sweet Lord who encouraged me too. So we lived with my parents for 8 months and ended up finding a duplex that we could renovate because we knew how to do it at that point. And we thought, well, we'll renovate this house and rent out the other side and not have a mortgage payment. We'll have paid off all of our debt and we'll have no house payment, no more, like no debt. Like, this is going to be awesome. And so we did that. And amidst renovating that place, I got contacted by a local photographer in town. She sent me a DM while I was sitting in staff meeting at Common Ground. And she said, hey, I hope you're doing well. I know I haven't really talked to you since we were working weddings together. She was a photographer, very connected to the guy that I'd been working for before. But I really would like to take you to lunch and talk to you about an opportunity to work at my photography studio. And I thought, oh my word, I could go work in a creative position. This is going to be awesome. And so, long story short, I met with her and her whole team, and I went to work for her photography studio. And while I was working there, there were flexible hours. There were some weeks and months that were busier than others, but Cody and I were able to continue our real estate portfolio and continue buying and renovating real estate. I was working at this studio. I learned how to shoot photography. I learned so much about business and building my own business again. And we did this. We did this for a while and continued to build this business for ourselves. One that would have never happened had we not sold the house. I would have never worked at the photography studio had I never worked for the wedding planner. I would have never worked at Common Ground Montgomery had I never gone to the Bible study, had I never experienced discord in friendship that was reconciled. But it took time. It took figuring myself out. It took figuring out life. Life continued to progress, and I continued to learn how to figure things out. I think that my job at Kimbox Photography taught me that there's a lot that I just have to stop and figure it out. It's not always going to be something that somebody can just look at me and say, hey, do this and it'll work. Oftentimes it's trying and royally screwing things up. And that's what I did. I ended up getting pregnant with my little love, Emmy Lou. And a couple of weeks, actually the day before I went into labor with her, Cody brought me this microphone. And he said, hey, I think you need to start a podcast because there's a lot on your heart that could encourage a lot of people. And I think you need to share it. And so after I had our daughter, I wound up leaving the photography studio, staying home. We used the real estate money as my income, and I started this podcast. This past year, almost a year ago, I had a miscarriage. And it rocked my world. And the day after my DNC, our state went on statewide lockdown for COVID-19. And I was home alone. My husband worked out of town with our family farm, and I was at home with our baby daughter and a completely lost pregnancy. And I was totally shattered, and my hormones were ruined. And I was trying to figure out how to fix my health and my mind and my heart. And I was praying through so much. And after months and months of this, I finally started looking into some natural approaches to supporting my body and my life. And I was heartbroken. This was not an easy thing to do. Cody and I were amidst a lot of other hard transitions in life and things that we were super afraid of and trying to make decisions about. And on top of that, my health was just not where it needed to be. And so I decided that I was going to try out Young Living. Young Living is a multi-level marketing company that sells seed-to-seal quality essential oils and supplements and household products and everything. And so I decided to give it a go. Why not? Do these products work? Do they not? I got a starter kit and I got going with it. And Cody and I moved 3 hours away from my hometown, this town where I had really built this life for myself, community, friendships, just everything. I was heartbroken, but I was supported by these products that were helping me. And I started selling them because I believed so much in them. And then this business was built for myself. And I had confidence that I knew how to figure things out. And if something didn't go right, that I could just figure it out and I could keep going. And this business started to become something much more successful than I thought. And so where I've landed today is that I'm living on a small farm in New Harmony, Alabama. I'm selling oils. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm managing real estate. I've done 1.5 million things, and not one of them was girls' youth ministry at a small church. No, I'm podcasting and I'm living my life and I'm figuring it out. And when Cody and I first moved to the farm, I really thought to myself, what have we done? This was a terrible decision. We shouldn't have moved here. And I was sitting in this pickup truck, crying my little eyes out. Cody had taken Emmylou out on the tractor, and I was like, what have we done? What have we done? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Laura, this is your assignment. You've lived your life thinking that you needed to have some type of purpose, and you missed out on seeing that every job and every season that I've taken you on was unto something else. The job at Evan & Company with wedding planning took you to Kimbox Photography 3 years later. Writing jobs took you to starting a blog. Miscarriage took you to building a business for yourself. But your purpose never changed in that, Laura. It never changed. Because you're a Christian. You're a believer. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your one and only purpose in this life is to be the living representation of Jesus wherever you go. Wherever you go. And your assignment, well, that's just where you go in life. When the Holy Spirit says go, when I say go, Laura, You go to the next thing. You go to the new assignment. And there's going to be seasons where I'm going to assign you somewhere where the boss isn't kind to you, where life is hard. You don't have enough. You can't figure it out. Life doesn't go your way, but your assignment is to stay and to continue your purpose in that place. Your assignment is to utilize your purpose in the very place that you've been planted. So today you are planted in New Harmony, Alabama, as a mom of a 2-year-old pregnant with another little boy, building a business, living on a farm, and trusting me. I know that this was a long drawn out story, but I hope that it's one that can encourage you. And I hope that you can hear me say, listen closely to the Lord. His path will always be full of adventures and miracles. And he is not running out of miracles in your life anytime soon. I wear a lot of hats in life, but I finally realized that I wear these hats because I stopped overly obsessing over my way happening. I finally learned I was smart. School didn't make me feel smart, but I finally figured out that I actually was. And I learned how valuable it is to just simply try. My degree supported me. It has helped me in this life. But really and truly, the Holy Spirit is what took me from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E. And then he can point back to every single one of those seasons and say, see, if not for this, then this would have never happened. Trust that your purpose will never change, only your assignment. And be blessed in knowing that oftentimes the path that you thought you were supposed to be on was not the path that the Lord had assigned. You're a part of his story. He's going to guide, guard, and direct you and blossom you where you have been planted. Utilize wilderness seasons. Utilize the seasons where you can't figure out the why as an opportunity to open your eyes, listen closely, and find hope without fear of the future. Y'all, thank you so much for being here today and listening in. I hope today's episode leaves you full of hope without fear of the future. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any new episodes. If you want to follow along with me on social media, be sure to follow Y'all Podcast on Instagram. Or you can follow my personal page, Laura_Jean_Bell. Every episode and blog is kept up to date on my website, laurabell.co. Subscribe there for stories dropped straight into your inbox. You won't regret it. Isaiah 30:21 says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, there will be a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" May the path you walk today be led by the Spirit who goes before you. Thanks for being here today. I'll talk to y'all soon.